Now, today I want to just say something, and then the main aim actually is so that we can once again pray, you know what I mean, about issues, especially about our country. And now I want to just remind us again of the things that underlie these things, that is, the spiritual principles behind what goes on the earth and why it is important that we pray. We've talked about it before, that Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. I don't ever forget that. He said they ought always to pray and not to faint or lose heart. And I say all the time, the reason why he will say pray and don't lose heart is that there will always be, or let me say it this way, oftentimes there is a reason to lose heart. You will be discouraged. That is, you will pray for something and to appear as if the opposite is what is happening. And that's why the Lord said, men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Now, I was listening to the Bible the other day on the CD, and I noticed that as soon as Moses began to preach the gospel of deliverance to the people of Israel, the first thing that happened was that they entered into greater bondage. Now, did you hear that? I'm not sure you heard me. Let me say it again. The moment Moses arrived and said to the people, God sent me to you to come and liberate you. So they went and told Moses, Pharaoh, want to go into the wilderness to go and sacrifice to our God. And what was it that happened? Instantly, the bondage increased. Instantly, trouble was mounted upon them. Before, they will get straw and make bricks. Then Pharaoh said, they are lazy. That is why they are talking about going to worship one God somewhere. So let us increase their work. Let's increase the demand upon them. How do we do that? Now, don't give them straw anymore. Because those days, the way they used to make brick was to mix, you know, now we use concrete, you understand, right? And then we use iron rod. So you mix the whole thing together. Those days, they use mud mostly. So as to give it some tensile strength, you know. There are different kinds of strength in these things, all right? Now, so as to give it some strength, it doesn't crumble easily when you try and pull it. So they have to use some fibers to mix it together, all right? And that fiber was made out of their own kind of straw they had then. So they will give you straw, you mix it with the mud, whatever it is, the mortar, everything you are using. And then the thing gets solidified, that's how you make the brick. So for you to make brick, you needed to have straw. Now, when Pharaoh, therefore, wanted to increase their problem, he said, nobody will give you straw anymore. You have to go and look for straw and make your brick. And you must still meet the same quota of bricks. Now, why did I go into all of that? To let you understand that the moment the gospel of deliverance came to them, the first manifestation was that their problems became worse. In fact, they came to Moses and said, who sent you? Like, who did you say sent you? What is going on here? All right? The moment they began to ask for deliverance. What am I going to explain? Let's talk about the matter of prayer. So sometimes like that, people start praying, then problems commence. In fact, you see when Jesus wants to deliver somebody, if I want to bring it, demon into the presence of Jesus Christ, you start misbehaving. Maybe the man used to increase up to level 5 before. Once he sees Jesus, the thing will increase to level 7. You understand? Because there's panic. Actually, spiritually, that's what's going on. There's panic. The evil spirit is panicking. He knows that something is about to happen, so he starts panicking. So, because of that, Jesus now said, look, this is what will happen. Men should always pray without getting discouraged. That's in the book of Luke chapter 18. All right? And then after that parable, I'm not going to read it now, I just wanted to remind us of that. Now, so, you see, this is a principle of life. We pray one way, it may not happen the way we are thinking quickly. So Jesus said, don't be discouraged. Alright? I say all the time, life is a battle. Alright? You keep fighting. It's not the first time you fire a shot in modern day warfare that you win. You have to fire many rounds, you understand? You may have to call for aerial reinforcement. You may have to call for what they call it. When you know they will give you come and help you bomb some of the guys in front, and you are still there. Sometimes you are embedded in, you are dug in for days, months. Sometimes it gets that bad, all right. But you have to win the battle. You understand my point? Ultimately, you must win the war. I'm going to say it again. It's not just one day, especially because what I'm talking about is a matter of intercession, how it works, all right. So we have to be persistent. We have to be continual. We have to ensure that the things that we are looking forward to, we don't change our minds, because that's one of the things that happens. After a while, because people are discouraged, they start modifying their expectations. Are you getting what I'm not explaining there? But God says, no, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Just be persistent. All right. So I just wanted to talk about that briefly again. Well, I don't know how long we're going to be on it. But this time around, with a focus on the matter of praying for, like, Nigeria, praying for your nation, wherever you are, praying for things that are outside you. So let's start with this one, Psalm 115. Just a few verses from verse, let me just start from verse 14. Let's start from 12, just to get something together. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel, bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear him, the small together with the great. Verse 14 says, may the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, now maker of heaven and earth. Now, verse 16 now says, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. I just read that one to point out the fact that God has a plan. He wants to bless people, all right? And he is the maker of the heaven and the earth. He now said in verse 16, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Now, let me say this. I just want to remind us of some things before we begin to pray. Now, the events that occur on this earth are controlled by a number of things. Are you getting me? Number one, the first and the most important of the things that control the events of this earth is the will of God. What did I call it?
The will of God.
I didn't hear you.
The will of God.
Thank you. Now, the will of God is number one, is the most important thing. Now, but you must understand something about the will of God. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The will of God is recorded in heaven, is written. They actually have documents. They have scrolls, all right? They have books. These are expressions you see in the scriptures to tell you about the libraries of heaven. There are books in there, all right? Concerning Jesus, when the prophetic word was that in the volume of thy book, it is written of me. That is, God had written things about him. He said books were opened, another book was opened. That is the day of judgment, you understand? We've studied these things again and again. Now, so you find out that there are books in heaven, all right? And that's where the will of God is recorded. So you find Jesus teaching us to pray. He said, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Literally, just said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So people often misinterpret it to me like this. They misread it that Jesus was saying, thy will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven. That's not what he was saying. He was saying that thy will be done on earth as it was recorded, all right, in heaven. Now, so you see that God has a will. God has a will. But you see, for the fact that Jesus told us to pray for that will to be done on earth means that it may not be done on earth except we pray like that. Please, you must understand that the will of God, even though it is recorded, number one of the things that control the things on this earth, we said, is the will of God. But it is in heaven. So we read from here, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. He can write anything he likes over there. Did you see the way I read that? That is, the heavens are what? The heavens of the Lord. So he can write anything he likes in heaven. The books there are his own. He writes his will on them. Now, what happens on this earth? Remember, that's what we're talking about, things that control it. All right? The will of God, though it's recorded in heaven, does not necessarily work out easily like that on the earth. Eventually, it works out. Eventually, his purpose, his counsel will be established. Don't ever forget that. Eventually. What did I say?
Eventually.
It's the word is eventually. All right? The word preached. I mean, that's what prophets do. There is a book in heaven. God shows them the book. You're going to read the story of John in your Revelations. They will see the book, and then they will prophesy the things that are written in there. But the word preached, that is, they are now preaching, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it, which means that the word preached may not come to pass. And my best way of illustrating it is the story of Jonah. Jonah, I preached a message, and I've talked about it here and there, but that first time I explained this in our records, I titled the message, Poor Jonah, all right? Activating the prophecy by prayer. That's what I called it. Now, Jonah, God spoke through Jonah. We won't talk about that in detail, but just to remind us again that what happened was that Jonah refused to go to Nineveh because he was used to being embarrassed. Several times in the past, God had told him, go and tell these people, by next week, all of you will die. You understand my point? Next week, they will get there. All of them are alive. Not only alive, they are very well. In fact, they have multiplied. Are you getting my point? That happened many times before to Jonah. So next time they said, go. He said, I'm not going. They said, go and tell some people, look, all of you will be blessed. By next year, there will be a blessing. The following year, Jonah got there, poverty had become worse. It was as if this man was telling lies. But the reason is because the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. He has written those things in heaven. For it to occur on the earth, many things affect it. We've been talking in the last few weeks about the conduit pipes between heaven and earth. So the heavens, all right, the will of God is written in there. But on the earth, before it manifests, in Jonah's case, let's talk about it again. In Nineveh's case, what happened? Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh and go and cry against the city. But then one thing he did not bear in mind, or he wasn't sure of, he did not know what would happen, whether to go this way or that way, was how the people would respond to his prophetic word. So when he said, go and cry against Nineveh, say to it, 40 days hence, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. When the king heard it, when the people heard it, they called a solemn assembly, and they began to repent. And for that reason, the judgment that was determined against Nineveh was suspended. And you will see, when you go and see Nebuchadnezzar, after he dreamed the dream, Daniel explained to him things he could do to suspend the days of judgment so that the days of prosperity will be lengthened. The will of God is recorded. So a prophet reads the scrolls of heaven and declares those things on the earth. But you see, before the will of God comes about on the earth, it is affected by two other things. You know, I started by saying three things that control what happens on the earth. Number one, the will of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God. That's number one. Then number two, the behavior of men, how they behave. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it. And he said, seeing that they were not able to enter because of disobedience. All right? So you find that disobedience prevents you from entering into the experience of that which is recorded. God said, yes, next year they will all be blessed. But you see, some things are, God's promises, the manifestation of it, they are predicated upon certain behaviors amongst human beings. Again, we can easily look at that. He said, will I hide what I'm about to do from my friend Abraham? Seeing that, you know, he's going to be surely be a great and mighty nation. And he's going to command his household after him concerning how to do righteousness and justice so that God can bring upon him what he has promised. That is, yes, there's a promise over Abraham. There is a promise over his household, over his descendants. He said, but except they learn how to do righteousness and justice, it will not come to pass. Are you getting what I'm saying? The man of God who was not named came to Eli. Did I not say to your father's house that they will be priests before me forever? He said, but now, far be it from me. Why? Because whoever honors me, I will honor. So even though I said to your fathers that they will be priests before me forever. So the manifestation, all right, like I was saying, the manifestation is predicated upon the fact that they will always honor me. So God had a plan. The household of Eli will be priests before God, all right, forever. Then, when the people refuse to honor, that's in 1 Samuel chapter 2, right? Yeah, chapter 2, verse 27. The man of God came to Eli and said, thus says the Lord, did I not indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house? And did I not choose them from all the tribes of Israel to be my priests, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, to carry an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the fire offerings of the sons of Israel? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering which I have commanded in my dwelling? And you honor your sons above me by making yourselves fat with the choicest of my offering, of the offering, of every offering of my people Israel. Therefore the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father shall walk before me forever. But now, the Lord declares, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Why did we read this? We wanted to point out the fact that though God had the plan, the behavior of people on this earth decides whether his plan will be manifested or it will not be manifested. Remember, we're talking about following God fully. We have to follow him completely. Now, I'm not talking about this in detail. But at least you've gotten the point. Concerning Abraham, he said, will I hide what I'm about to do from my friend Abraham? Let's just read that one also. Genesis chapter 18. He said from verse, let's just say 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. That is, for them to experience what God spoke about Abraham, they had to learn how to do righteousness and justice. We've talked about that. Now, that is the second thing that affects what occurs on this earth. Number one, the will of God, the plan of God, the recorded purpose of God. Number two, the way those of us on earth behave. If we hear the word and believe it, and it affects our behavior, the word preached will profit us. We also saw these examples. The number three, which is what we want to talk about again, beginning from today. Number three is the prayers of people. What did I call it?
The prayers of people.
That's number three. Those are the three things you put together, and then things begin to occur on this earth. A lot of times, people get confused. You know, those who say there is no God, people say it a lot. You know, it's not good to be ignorant of. It's not good. You'll be there, you'll be fooling yourself. And those who know, you'll be saying, and you know, have you ever seen an ignorant man talk boldly? In his foolishness, he'll be talking nonsense. A lot of people say they don't believe in God. Once I heard a friend of mine was telling me recently, a classmate, that he doesn't believe in God. And when he was talking, it pained me that we didn't have time to talk. I said, look, I'm not saying you should believe in God or not. If you like, don't believe in God. But please, not on these premises. That the reasons you are giving are very stupid. I remember I showed him those days. He said that he didn't believe in God. Why? Because he asked God for something. And God didn't do it for him. That means God doesn't exist. I said, that means most daddies don't exist. No, think about it. Most daddies don't exist though. Because many times, sons and daughters ask daddies for things and they don't get it. Many people have said they don't believe in God. Because if God really is there and is a kind God, how come there's so much evil on the earth? If God is there and he's kind, how come he allowed Hitler to smoke 6 million Jews? Where was God when Osama bin Laden was bringing out the Twin Towers? Where was God when a cult in Nasarawa State last week or the week before, you know, decided to kill 40 policemen and say security servicemen? Where was God when a building was collapsing in Bangladesh, of which final death toll is over 1,100? Where was God? Come on, if God is there and is as good as we say he is, how come these things happen? And my friend was telling me that guy, my classmate, that he was quoting a man, all right? I heard that man speak also. That how can a God that you claim is good build a furnace like hellfire and then send people to that place? You know, as he was speaking, it was paining me. That you are talking ignorantly, you are speaking against the principles upon which you live your everyday life. Why do men make that mistake? Because they don't understand. In fact, the people, all right, the people of faith, the word of faith preachers, trying to answer this, they committed another error. They say it's the devil. Now, did you hear me speak about three things that control what happens on this earth? Did you notice that in none of them did I mention the devil? Did it strike you? Because the devil only has power where men are disobedient to God. It is their disobedience that has the power of the devil. The devil himself doesn't matter. The Bible says he that has the power of death, that is the devil. Now, look at it. He said, but that's what the Bible says. Are you saying he doesn't have influence? Now, notice carefully. He said he has what? The power of death. This wages of sin is what? Death. What gives the devil power is sin. So that's why he comes into my second category, the behavior of men on this earth. When they disobey God, the devil gets strong. And you see people every day peddling fear of the devil. The one I have been saying in recent months is that there are demons that move between 12 midnight and 2 a.m. A good Christian should wake up at that time and be modulating their activities. You know, sometimes you will say things that don't make sense. That is okay, sit down here. What activity are you modulating? Because most road traffic accidents happen in the afternoon. Most bombing, Boko Haram style, happen in the afternoon. So what are you modulating? Now, why am I talking about all of these things? It's confusion when we don't know exactly how things work. Christians now start blaming the devil for everything. Pray that this year, the devil will have no part in my life. Pray! Honestly, it sounds like a good prayer point, right? The truth is that I'll ask you, what does it mean? You want to know? He never had any part in your life if you're a true Christian. What he was trying to do was to deceive you. What he was trying to do was to tempt you. What he was trying to do, all right, was to accuse you. And you have prayed prayers that don't address any of those things. Don't ever forget, the devil is not God in your life. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
In your life, the devil is not God. So, we Pentecostals get confused. We now start blaming the devil. Start raising prayer points against the devil. Meanwhile, the devil really is not the problem. The main problem is the behaviors of mankind. When they walk in disobedience, they strengthen the devil. And the only thing that can disarm that devil is obedience. You cannot cast out by shouting a devil that arrived because of your disobedience when your obedience has not been made complete. Let me say it again. If your habit of disobeying the word of God and the precepts of God remains with you, and that habit has brought satanic oppression into your life, demonic confusion into your society, into your system, you can't cast that devil out as long as your habits remain the same. Because spiritual things are dynamic. It's like a spring. You kick the devil out, and he actually goes out for, let's put it like this, for a time in the realm of the spirit now. But as soon as he goes out, the door, now listen, doors that open in the realm of the spirit only sucks devils in. You don't open the devil to push the devil out. He can go out if the door is closed. For him to enter, you have to open the door for him. So if that door is open, you force the devil out, automatically he's sucked back in. The only way the devil goes out and is permanently out is when we repent. Are you getting my point? And then we'll not tell the devil, you don't belong here. Once he goes out, he can't find his way back in. So if we stand and say, in the name of Jesus, out, he has to go out. Out. But as soon as we finish saying out and he has gone out, instantly, he identifies the door again and he returns inside. So, essentially, no point disturbing him. Let him just stay there. Don't waste your energy. He's not going anywhere anyway. We must understand that. Let me say it again so that I can go on with what I'm saying. Any demon, any Satan that disobedience brings in is not going anywhere until obedience is complete. Therefore, Christians don't come out fighting demons. Oh, you evil spirit in my life. I cast you out. The first thing we do is that, oh boy, how you take Rishi in the first place? How did you get in here? How come my head is never correct? I always have tension, headache on this side. I don't sleep well. Are you getting my point? I have suicidal thoughts. I'm just totally discouraged. I'm depressed. I can't move. And somebody said, you have a spirit of depression. And that's not a lie. There is a spirit. It's called a spirit of heaviness. That you have a spirit of heaviness. So we're going to cast it out. Fine. Listen to me. Bow your head. Let them pour oil on it. and the spirit of heaviness disappears. As soon as you go back home, no, the guy will be waiting at the door. Say, Pastor Alpha, you don't come back from church. Now he go open the door for you. Come here, sir. Then two of you will lie down there together again. It starts again. Ah, is that after service? I was so, what's happening? They say, oh, last time it was 2 days casting out. This time, it's going to be 1 week. This time around with fasting. And you know, Christians go through it all the time. And they are not helped. They are not helped. Why? Because there's one commandment the fellow is breaking all the time. Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. It's an express word. So that fellow breaks it all the time. Because of that disobedience, the spirit of despondency enters into his life. Brings the spirit of heaviness and calls their friend the spirit of suicide. And all of them gather together and sit down there. The thing that opened the door is disobedience to one word that says, take no thought for the morrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. That fellow will be delivered better like this. He comes for a teaching meeting, and somebody explains to him, tomorrow is in God's hands, and he says, amen. And Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow. You don't have to be worried. Why are you competing with other people? As soon as he's imbibing those words, he said, ah, Lord, I repent of comparing myself with Chooks over there. I repent of comparing myself with Thomas there. I repent of comparing myself. After he repents like that, those evil spirits, in fact, next thing you hear, wow, one car will jump another outside. What happened? As the demons were running across the road, now they confused two drivers. They were running away from his life. You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. Evil spirits be funny. When they leave you like that, they have to do something. On their way out, they must kill something. You can't see those pigs. Ask them what happened to them. As they left the life of one man, they had to pass through the pigs to soften their landing. So while they were leaving the pigs, they all killed all the pigs. Go and read this book. One of Ken Hagin's books, I've forgotten which one. He cast out a demon that was hanging one man, actually. All right? Interpreting that is a bit complicated, but let me just use it. The man drove out the demon that was hanging the roof of a church. He saw into the realm of the spirit, went after that evil spirit, and drove it away. And he was watching the demon run down the road and entered into a bar. The next night, the bar burnt down. The whole building burnt down. Demons. Sometimes you see car just jammed like that. Now one man just repent across the road. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What's the point I've made? The point is that if disobedience allows evil spirit in, casting it out doesn't work. That gate of disobedience must be closed by complete obedience. And then the evil spirit can now be driven away. And many times you don't even have to talk. Suddenly he's no longer welcome. He doesn't enjoy it anymore. The home is no longer nice for it. It's everywhere is uncomfortable. The Holy Spirit has now come in full blast. And some angels are looking for who to cut, you know. They're not hanging around. When they find that evil spirit, what do you think they will do? So that evil spirit also knows. So he runs away. And you have not even prayed a prayer of deliverance for that fellow. All he did for himself, all she did for herself, was to pray a prayer of repentance from dead works. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Is a power of God unto deliverance. That was salvation. Alright? It's the same word also that's used for deliverance. Please, I hope you're following me. Explain. I hope you're following me. What have I said so far? The behavior of men. Very crucial. That's not supposed to be my main message today, alright? But that's why the devil gets his power. That's why when I was saying the three things I'll call that control what happens on the earth, I said number one, the will of God. That's the one that gives us the whole direction. In each person's life, it does not always work out. God went to the nation of Egypt and called out his people Israel. Let me take you to the promised land. But they never reached there. They never reached there. The only ones that entered, Joshua and Caleb. Apart from Joshua and Caleb, nobody has entered. Why? The word preached did not profit them. But listen to this, eventually they entered into the promised land. It's just that it was not that generation that left Egypt. That's what we mean by the purpose of God. And the whole thing was to bring that nation to the point where Jesus could come through them. And no matter what they did, God kept on doing what he was doing. But as you are walking with God, it's good you enjoy your life. Are you getting my point? That as a nation, you are going to bring forth Jesus Christ. Must you be in captivity all these years? You don't have to be in captivity. You can be in the promised land having fun. You can be in the promised land reaping good harvest. You can be in the promised land dancing every Friday. That is a Sabbath day. Yes. You can be in the promised land really enjoying yourself. Not knowing what problems are, what diseases are. All right? The fact that you are going to bring forth Jesus Christ doesn't mean you should suffer like this. Why were they suffering? Disobedience. So the plan of God, which was to bring forth Jesus Christ, was moving on. But in the lives of each individual participant, all kinds of things were happening. Men were getting saved and backslided. Jacob was suffering and unsuffering. Yeah, are you getting what I'm saying? His children were there fighting each other. Brothers gathered together. In fact, I was listening to the other day. I said, are you sure these people really knew God? Why are the tribes of Israel named after them? It was God just saying that I will do my thing, no matter what they smoke. I don't know whether you got that point. That was what God was saying. I will do my thing, whatever what they smoke. Reuben was there, firstborn, collecting his father's wife. God said, don't worry, I will do my thing. If you like, go mad. They named the tribe after him. The guy was there, collecting his father's wife. What's the name of the other two people? Was it those two ones that were Simeon and the ones that were very, very hot-tempered? Killing men they had made a covenant with. Those things were not right. Because they still name it after them. I will still do my thing, no matter what they are smoking. Go and see Judah. And I say, the lion of the tribe of Judah. You think Judah was a good name? He's not, look, that guy, this day, he won't be my friend. I don't care which God is serving. He won't be my friend. Can you imagine? And you know, all the children were just down on him, one after the other. And Onan, this one, and it was wickedness in the sight of God, therefore God slew him, and Judah was alive. I don't know which spirit jumped into Rav. You find Ashehu. I mean, how would you like to be friend with a man who's looking for Ashehu? That's what he was doing. You don't know that? Except that the Ashehu was not real Ashehu. It was the daughter-in-law. And you know the funny thing about men who follow Ashehu, they are the ones that are very super righteous. When he found out the woman was pregnant, bring her out, I'll go to stone her. Agbaya. Look at him. God just saying that what I want to do, I will still do. All these foolish boys, just name the tribes of Israel after them. Honestly, when you read some of those stories, you shake your head. And when you get to heaven, if you find them there, you will change quarters. Now, what am I trying to say? Yes, they're going to bring forth the will of God eventually. But they didn't enjoy the process. And it was not supposed to be like that. Why didn't they enjoy the process? Because of their personal character flaws. Many people, God will just look at them, raise them up after a while, collect their children, say, this guy, I'm through with him. And it shouldn't be like that. So through their lineage, great things will still happen. But that person won't enjoy any bit of it, problems all his life. Why? Because of his own character flaws, because of his own behavior. No, go and read the story of those guys. You don't want to be their friend. Maybe apart from Benjamin and Joseph. Uh-huh. The other guys, anybody who can sell his brother. Go sell your brother. Abba, waiting. Waiting the boy do you. I know they said they won't sell him. I kid them, they won't kill him. Anyway, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What's the point there? The point is that those men were still bringing forth the will of God. But in their own personal lives, they really didn't partake of the blessing that was supposed to go with it. That's the point I'm trying to make by all of those things. So you see, the will of God is very important. The behavior of men affects how that will, all right, decides how that will affects them. This is school of prayer. And that's why I want to sit on the third, I don't want to say most important thing, but the third thing, which is our focus for this season. And that's the prayers of men. All right? And now, let me just say this quickly. You know, we said then that Jesus said, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven, as it is recorded. And the point is that if it was not important that we did that, then why on earth did they have to put it for us as a prayer point? That is, if the will of God will be expressed, even though we didn't say anything about it, then why will he put it there for us as a prayer point? Let me quickly say this, all right? I want to get practical now, just to give us a general thing. All right? No, let me say this and I'll get practical. Now, so you find out that, therefore, this is how it works. Our behaviors are important, but then there are people that God calls his own. There are people that they are the priests of God. God said to the nation of Israel when he called them out, he said, I've called you out as my own. You will be a kingdom of priests. Now, notice that. A kingdom of priests unto me. The idea is that you will be the ones to offer sacrifices for the rest of the earth. The idea was that you would be the one to decide what will happen to the whole earth. That's what it means to be a priest of God. That is, they are the ones that will offer sacrifices. They are the ones that will have communion, you know, with God. And therefore decide what is going on this earth. That's what God was planning. And Jesus said it like this. He said, you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. Please notice this, very, very crucial. What God was saying is that his own people are the ones that will dictate what is happening on the earth. Please. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given. I was saying that this was where the word of faith people often missed it. They blamed the devil exceedingly. You've heard the joke before of one man who was passing and he saw the devil sitting there in front of a church and the devil was crying. Have you heard the joke before?
Yes.
Mr. Devil, why are you crying? That the lie is too much. Which lie? Anything that goes wrong in the lives of these people, they say, I'm the one. Pointing at the church, thereby indicating the members inside. Even when I don't know about it, they say it's the devil. A man falls into sin, it is the devil. He suffers, I'm not adding my own words now. He suffers the consequence of his sin. It is the devil. The devil says, waiting now. Waiting, I do these people. May they leave me alone for once. That's what happened to us Pentecostals, as word of faith people. We blamed the devil excessively. Meanwhile, it wasn't the devil. It was us. We handed the power to him. People say that it was Adam. Adam did his own. You still do your own. Each individual does his own. Adam did not give control of your life to the devil. He gave the control of his own life. Your own life is in your hands to give the power either to God or to the devil. But let's see the matter of priesthood. So you see, as people are misbehaving, their attitudes, their habits, their behaviors, and their misbehaviors, all right? As people are doing those things, all right, what's happening actually is that they are handing power to the devil. Let me give you an example. We are in a city, all right, just to make it simple, and we are 1,000. Each person has influence in that city. If Achan, all right, in Achan in the Bible, if he sins, it affects the ability of the whole city to win a battle when they go to Ai. Are you getting what I'm saying? If one person sins, it affects what is going on. And the problem we see in a lot of times is that it's not just how it draws the devil into a situation. It's how the sin itself spreads to other people. How the sin starts getting amplified. Now, so let's assume you are in a place and there are 1,000 people in that city. And 700 of them are sinners. No, 900. They fill that place with iniquity. They fill that place with the power of the devil. What would the other 100 do? Let's even assume that they are 950 or 990. And the 10 are not doing their own iniquities. The 10 are not participating. Now, what the 10 can do, that is those who are not participating in iniquity. One, they are the priests of God in that place. They are the light of the world. They are the salt of the earth. But one thing you must bear in mind is that they are lighting the world. It's not just in their character. Just like the people, their behavior of sin is not just the thing that we observe that was the issue. It's what it draws into the situation. It's the evil influences that come in, the power of a curse that they bring into that place. So the other 10 people, they also have something they can draw in. Now listen to this carefully, very carefully. How they respond to the situation will decide whether the power of evil that the other 990 are bringing in, all right, will triumph or it won't. That is where prayer comes in. I said, what happens on the earth? One, the will of God. Two, the behaviors of those people, the 990 and the 10. Now, how would the 10 overcome?